Blog Talk Radio.
Radio 858-947-6607. Good morning. If you'd like to talk to the host, good morning. Just open up the chat room, y'all. Chat room is now open. Open up the chat room on blogtalkradio.com/notecover. Get into the chat room. Talk to your friends and family. Tune in this morning. Get some house cleaning out the way that we do every morning. Gotta remember that history. Remember, we don't remember our past, can't predict the future. So real quick, because I got a show for you this morning that I need to play. But I want to talk about the Black History for the Day. The day is June 6th, 1964, as we do every day. In 1964, June 6th, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life imprisonment. That's life imprisonment, y'all. Nelson Mandela, June 6, 1964, life imprisonment. Spent 27 years on a life imprisonment sentence. During that time period, Nelson Mandela's punishment, he was to receive one letter and one visitor every 6 months. 27 years in prison, y'all. Man, they locked him up and then tried to kill him after they locked him up. One letter and one visitor every 6 months while he was on Robinson Island in the lion pits. Now I'm going to show you, because we're talking about leadership today, I'm going to show you a leader. In 1985, after 21 years of being in prison, had been in prison 21 years, President Botha told him, "We'll let you free, but you must denounce your organization and denounce armed struggle." 21 years in prison. President Botha tells him, he says, "We'll let you free, but you must denounce your organization, that which you say you believe in, and armed struggle." Nelson Mandela's reply was this: "What freedom? What is freedom for an individual offered while the organization of the people remains in bondage? Only a free man can negotiate. Prisoners cannot enter into contracts." That was his reply to Mr. Botha. "I'd rather stay in prison than to violate that which I say that I believe in." Nelson Mandela spent another 6 years in prison and finally was set free and later became the president of our South Africa. You're listening to No Covers this morning on Blog Talk Radio. This week we're going to go back into the prison system because I want to deal with, we did a show 2-3 weeks ago on Jim Crow. I want to come back to that during the week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I want to deal with this police state because everything we talked about 2 weeks ago, there's an article in this week's paper that showed that it's already being tested in the country. And I'm going to go back and show you what we talked about 6 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, about this prison industry and how it's planned to massively incarcerate and go back to convict leasing. Remember we talked about convict leasing. We're going to go back this week and prove to that. But before we get there, we did a show yesterday, and some folks got it and some folks got part of it. I very seldom do this, but the message of yesterday was important enough because it was given to me. And I needed to share it again because some people called me last night and wanted to get clips of it. And I wanted to make sure those of you that I know, I sent you out text messages if you got them because I love you. And I want to share with you what was shared with me. And I also sent it out to some other friends, some politicians, some political leaders of the city, some clergymen of the city, and every pastor of the city. I'm going to make sure that they get this message that was sent to me. I'm going to play it again today and probably wrap up the day after this. Those of you that are interested right now, this morning, if you can hit me on my cell phone, we're taking some students, trying to find activities for the students all summer. So y'all can text me or page me if you're looking for activities for your students this summer. But leadership is what I want to talk about. I'm talking to each and every one of you as friends, each and every one of you as those of you that have been chosen, and those of you that don't even know your leadership skills are there yet. And I'm going to make sure every clergyman that I know get a copy of this that was sent to me, and you make sure they do the same.
I used to have a problem, and I don't know how many of you grew up watching the story of Moses. Every year my father would sit us down, and even though we were from, you know my background, you ought to know me, you ought to tune in to show, know I grew up as Jehovah's Witness. And even though we were from a background of non-sectarian, we weren't a part of this world and this society and grew up that way, we would participate in watching the Easter shows, the spiritual shows on TV. I think my father would get a kick out of pointing out the errors as we watched the shows. But as we watched the Ten Commandments, I remember clearly watching the Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments with Charles and Hester and Hugh Brenner. You've probably seen it. Every year we would watch it religiously. And every year I would have a problem. And I would ask the questions, but my father was one that you would ask questions you couldn't seem to be questioning his faith. And so I was very selective on what questions I asked. But I had a problem every year at the end of the movie, because at the end of the movie, Moses goes up with Joshua, and he's taken up with Joshua to a mountain. And in that scene, Joshua is told by Moses that because of an incident during the travels some time ago, when he split the Craig with water and told the Israelites, is it I that must bring you water out of the Craig? Because he made a reference to himself and didn't give God the credit for splitting that Craig, he was not to enter into the promised land. And I had a problem with that, because my mind was like, you know, after all Moses had been through, you know, after your brother, you know, especially you watching the emotional version, you know, he lost his Egyptian family, and he was cast to as a slave, and then he goes into find God, and then he believes and goes before Pharaoh and leads the people out, and they some hard-headed, stiff-necked people. I mean, he had Dathan and Abiram going against him. I was like, man, Moses don't get in? You know, it was similar to my father, who was Jehovah's Witness, trying to tell me, you know, at that time I was growing up believing in the paradise. He was telling me Martin Luther King didn't get in. And I was like, he don't get in because he's not your father. I couldn't get with that. You know, I couldn't get with Moses not getting in. They get all the way to the door of the promised land, and Moses don't get, he had to go at a crag, and he didn't get to walk in. And I had a problem with God about that. And it wasn't until years of my development and growth later on that I began to understand. It really wasn't until I got into leadership positions myself that I began to understand, and that's why the question that I sent to us today was leadership. Question: what is the role of a leader? When we look at Moses and Moses not getting in the promised land, there are two reasons now in my development now that stand out why, and I want to share them with you this morning. You may agree or disagree, but you have that right. The first reason that Moses didn't get in is that Moses was born differently than everyone else. Moses was not born a slave. Moses was born to be the servant of God. Moses was not born into servitude. Moses was born and his mother escaped and allowed him to get away for a minute and then went back. What do I mean by escape? His mother went to the brook and escaped. She hid. And she put Moses in a basket and trusted in God. She had escaped in her own mentality. She trusted in God enough and put him in a brook. The rest of the women were in the same environment that Moses was in, the rest of the mothers. She had two other children. Why Moses? Because the king was going around at that time killing male babies, because he was afraid they were going to overpopulate. The rest of the mothers were sitting there watching their children get slaughtered. But she said, no, there's something special about this child. And she went and put him in a basket and moved him and trusted, followed him down, and had Miriam follow the basket all the way into Egypt's land. She sent her daughter into strange territory, outside the bounds of slavery, to watch to make sure the child got away safe. She believed. So Moses was born into a strong belief system that was different from every other Israelite. Even though he was born an Israelite and a slave, he now was born into a belief system and took that belief system with him to Egypt, that inner belief system that was with him at birth. The second, the point B on that not being born a slave He didn't grow up as a slave. He grew up as a prince of Egypt. Moses grew up as a prince of Egypt, not as a commoner of Egypt. He wasn't a regular Egyptian that knew the ins and outs. He was a prince sitting next to Pharaoh. So Moses knew before God ever spoke to him that Egyptian mythology wasn't hitting on anything. He knew Janus and Jambres was fake before he even met God, because he was a prince of Egypt. He wasn't a commoner archer of Egypt, or a commoner a craftsman of Egypt, or a common man of Egypt. He was the prince of Egypt. So he had privy to the secret council that Pharaoh had with his magic practicing priests to fool the Egyptians. So Moses already knew that it was magic that Janus and Jambres had. He already knew because of his relationship with Pharaoh. He even knew Pharaoh was fake. He knew the gods were made of stone and image and they was fake before he met God. He was born under certain circumstances that was different from every other Israelite. He was born with a mother with strength. He was born free. He was raised up in a community that allowed him to be free. So when Moses finally ran away to meet God, he already knew, something internally in him knew, that Egypt was already fake. The second reason why Moses didn't get in is no other, after he met God, the scripture said the bush had been rumbling for years. Nobody had dared step up on the mountain. Moses, because of his way he was brought up, knew that there had to be something else. And so he went up to meet that God. When he went up to meet that God, Moses was by himself. No other Israelite, no other Egyptian saw the handwriting on the Ten Commandments. No other Egyptian spoke to God but Moses. No other Israelite spoke to God but Moses. Moses was the only one knew that the God was real. Moses was the only one who saw God's hand write the tablets out. So he knew without a shadow of a doubt that the God was real. The Israelites, when they saw the Red Sea parting, well, they could have believed it was a God. But hell, they had seen Janus and Jambres magic tractors and tricks. They had seen Egyptian tricks. So when Dathan and Abiram started the murmuring, there was reason for the murmuring to be there. Because the Israelites, all the Egyptians, were not whole-crafted like Moses was. They didn't have the condition of training and the condition of environment, the condition of birth like Moses. Moses was completely different because God had already seen in him leadership and was going to make him a leader. Now, before I get to Moses' problem, let's deal with us. Most of us that are in leadership, and I'm talking to those of us that have leadership skills, those of us that have qualities, those of us that want the best for our people, those of us that have been tapped and chosen to be in a certain number, I'm talking to us. We are born different. We are born with a different character. We are born with a different set of environment. And I can just look at myself. I grew up in the hood, but I wasn't born into the hood. I was born with a mother and father who had a different structure. Born with a mother and father who instilled Bible in me at an early age. My Friday nights were not consumed with spade parties and alcohol and weed smoking. My father wasn't a man that ran from house to house, woman to woman. He raised his family and showed me what a real man should look like. My brother was not a person that was in jail every other weekend. No, he wasn't, because he was raised like me and was raised in the house of my father. Many of you that I'm talking to were raised the same way. Even though you may have been raised in the hood, you had a certain condition, a certain upbringing. You had a certain mama that would pop you when you needed to be popped. You had one of those mamas like Moses that believed something in you higher than the environment around you. Many of you were born in similar circumstances. You were raised differently. Even though you were raised in the hood, your house was clean. Your mother knitted. Your mother sewed. Your father went to work every day. And even if you didn't have a father, your mother taught you how to be the father, how to cut grass, how to change a carburetor. Or you had a man in another neighborhood that showed you what a 3/16 inch wrench was. Many of you that I'm talking to this morning were born in the same conditions that Moses was born, that made you the leader. Just like Moses had that experience when he went and talked to God, many of you that I'm talking to that are chosen in that number have had a talk with God. Some of us have had actual experiences with God. We don't share them publicly. You don't share yours publicly, else you'd be called a nut. But many of you I'm talking to have had that conversation when God had talked to you in your sleep and told you it's going to be better. Many of you have had experiences that you've watched God take you from the hell, from the shores of hell, from death itself, from crack, from cocaine, from alcohol. And you've watched God change your life and made you a better person. Many of you that I'm talking to have actually been there at death's door and been brought back from death's door. You've actually seen God's hand in your life. You've seen the hand at work. You've seen it work. So you don't believe in a mystery God. You believe in a real God based on your experience, just like Moses believed in a real God and knew the sea would part because he saw God's hand move. He was in the mountain one-on-one by himself. He knew the mountain couldn't be talking to him. It wasn't spooky. He knew that was a real God talking to him. He know rocks don't talk. You know rocks don't talk. You know the water don't talk, but you was walking on the water one day and you heard God's voice. Clear as I'm talking to you right now. Tell you what to do, and it changed your life around. Many of you that I'm talking to right now today had that same spirit and had that same experience. So now why didn't Moses get into the promised land? Moses didn't get into the promised land because he got upset with the people. Moses didn't get in the promised land because he got upset with Janet, with Dathan and Abiram. All along, he's doing for the people. And Dathan and Abiram, here they go. As soon as he get one thing done, Dathan and Abiram run behind him. You know Moses think he's God himself. You know Moses leading you down the wrong path. You know Moses got that wife over there that, you know, she ain't really Israeli. You know Moses, you know, he gave her his sister and his brother. Look at the positions he gave them. That was Dathan and Abiram. Every time Moses do one thing good, they come right behind him, throwing rocks and thumbtacks in his way. Nathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram. That's all he heard. What Dathan said, what Abiram said, what Dathan said this, and eventually Moses got frustrated. The people sitting there then came across the Red Sea. He then went before Pharaoh, put his life in Pharaoh's hand. Kill me. But he could do that because he knew God could save him. He then heard the people's murmuring and complaining all the way. Then finally one morning, Moses said, damn it, I'm tired. You done woke me up on the wrong side of the bed this morning asking me for some damn water. Y'all thirsty again? Didn't you just get water yesterday? And he was mad. He was tired. And he took his staff and said, is it by my hand that I should give you water? He got frustrated with the people. For one instance, Moses was thin-skinned. that's what happens to us sometimes. We get thin-skinned. We thin-skinned it when it comes to our people. We thin-skinned it when it comes to the criticism that comes with leadership. We thin-skinned it when we look at the condition of our people. Look at the way they live. Look at the way they ride. Look at they don't give a damn. I don't give a damn about them. We get thin-skinned and we forget all the mercies that God has given us. We forget all the advantages because we forget we're not one of them. I'm talking to leadership today. We forget we know more than they know. We forget. We had a mama that taught us the scripture. We forget. We had Mr. Johnson that gave us the 3/16 inch with the long rich socket. We forget. Our environment, our condition, our upbringing was different from that of the people. So therefore, we have to have the patience and passion and belief in the people and the understanding to go save the people. We can't get thin-skinned with the people. The people don't know. They dumb as hell. They've been raised by a wicked slave master who wants to keep them in servitude and bondage. They don't know. They don't know they crazy as hell. They don't know. They have the slightest idea, the slightest clue. But us, we, those of us who have been touched to be in the number, we know better. We know there for the grace of God go I. We know what we once were. And we know what we can be again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just look at the promised land. I'm planning on getting in the promised land. To ask me, Dawood, why did you give a damn? I give a damn because there for the grace of God go I. I care because I could have been worse. I care because I could have not had a mama who put me in a basket and sent me up the Nile River. Made sure my shoes was tied. Made sure my clothes was ironed. Made sure I stood out. I could have had a mama who let me walk around the grocery store with a nasty nose, snot running out. I could have had a mama that didn't read to me at night and show me what words meant and what a book was. I could have had a mama that walked out in the morning with a night robe on and a hair all nappy, looking all fat and stinky. I could have had a mama like that, but I didn't. I had a mama that put me in a basket and sent me up the Nile River. I could have had a daddy or no man in the community that gave a hoot ninny about me. But I had a daddy who cared, popped me on my backside when it was time to, didn't mind giving me a spanking. I had one like that. I could have been born going from Salvation Army to Salvation Army, from shelter to shelter, homeless, not knowing what I was going to eat at night. But God didn't have that for me. God had it that I had a meal every night. I had lights in the house. I had clothes on my back. So therefore, the grace of God go me. Born like Moses in a land and an environment with a people, hard-headed, stiff-necked, but need to be saved. I'm talking to you this morning, that's who I'm talking to. A person born like Moses. A person born with a different set of conditions, a different set of values, a different set of circumstances, a different idea, a different thought process. I know you was born to wait. That's what brings you to the talk show. That's what brings you to the teachings. That's what brings you to those people that are considered different. That's what brings you to the minister. That's what brings you to Ben Ali. That's what brings you to Noble Dre Ali. That's what brought you to Marcus Garvey. That's why you got a book in your house that you read. That's why you prayed yesterday and gonna pray tomorrow. You were born in a different set of circumstances. Born to lead a hard-headed and stiff-necked people. A hard-headed. Stiff-necked people. What's going on with you, brother? What's going on with you, sister? Can't you see who you are? Marvin Gaye wrote this tune back in the 60s. Came out. It was the number one tune album in the country. But it was different. Marvin was different. Marvin won't like the rest of them. He won't like the Temptations. He wasn't like David Ruffin. Something affected him. He came out with music that was different. He said, what's happening? He said, what's going on? He said, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? You listen to No Covers this morning. It's been your Sunday morning wake up call. I'm just your brother, cause I love you. God, I get some teachers this morning. Go out and share the word, spread the word.
You've been listening to No Covers on Blog Talk Radio. Today's message was pre-recorded from Sunday, June 10th, 2012. You can find it in the archives. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back on with a live show. Sorry for the pre-recording, but we had to take the kids out, children out this day to the aquarium with the Youth Enrichment Zone. So we'll be back tomorrow morning with a live show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening this morning to No Covers on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in the morning live.